Nice. I haven't smiled this much since I got up here. Well, my name is Keith and I'm an alcoholic. And congratulations to all the celebrants. There's somebody who didn't pick up a medallion who should have got up here. Michelle had 10 years. So congratulations to Michelle. Yeah, I missed last week because I had come down with some bronchitis.
You were scared.
Yeah, I was scared too. But so tonight we're at the finale, so to speak. And if I didn't tell you I was excited to be done with this, I'd be lying. I'm giddy as all get up to get out of here. But before I go, I'm going to talk about the 12th step. 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and practice principles in our affairs. And I've had that. You know, I came in here in July of 2003, a broken man, wanting to die. And through the first 11 proposals, I've been reborn. You know, I didn't get my old life back. You hear people say you want your old life back. I don't know why they say that, because I didn't want my old life back. And, you know, it talks about this God thing. And this program is all about God. If you didn't know that, or if you think there's another way around that, sorry to break the bad news to you, but it's all about God. And I missed last week talking about step 11, and my best friend in the world, Joe, stood in for me, so I'm going to just touch on that step 11 a little bit. I'm not going to rehash the first 11 steps, because I'm going to rocket.org and catch that. But, yeah, step 11, after going through the work, you know, I get to step 10, and I had this spiritual awakening. I get my sanity back, and now it's talking about building this conscious contact with God as we understood him. And when I got here, me and God were on the outs, you know. I had contempt for him. I judged him based on what I knew growing up. And if you've been here for a while, you heard me say this a couple of times. When I got here, my belief or my understanding of God was, I'm a child of the 80s. So what I knew about God was what I saw on TV, because that's when the preacher started getting big. And you had Jimmy Baker and Tammy Faye Baker and Jimmy Swagger, and they're riding around in Rolls Royces and stuff. And I'm just like, man, these people are crooks. So I'm thinking everybody's like that who's in religion. But this is not a religious program. It's a spiritual program, right? And my problem is lack of power. I had to find a power which works. So by me doing this work, it's laid out perfectly for me. You know what I mean? It is laid out to where I don't have to figure anything out. So if you're new, and somebody said it earlier, you know, get with a sponsor who's armed with the facts about themselves in the program. Like the book says that, and there's a solution. Armed with the facts. What are the facts? The facts is that I'm an alcoholic. I need to know what that means when I say that, because before I got here, I didn't know what that meant. So in step 11, you know, it's talking about improving this conscious contact that I found. And again, I got sober, I'm doing the deal, you know, but I'm not, like, really involved with the God thing. I got my own understanding of him, but I'm still not buying. You know, I'm still having that old attitude, ideas, and beliefs. And so, in the book, it talks about, on page 86, 87, 88, it gives us clear-cut directions for step 7, right? And how I improve this conscious contact. It gives me instructions in the morning, when I wake up in the morning. You know, I don't get up in the morning and turn on Channel 7 news. I don't, you know, I sit and I plan my day, and I'm talking to God. Like, you know, my prayer is simple when I wake up. Thank you for waking me this morning. Please help me stay sober and help another alcoholic. And then I chill. And I sit and I see my day. I work in a pool distribution center, so where I work at, there's a lot of, let's say, unspiritual people. And I'm not well, because I go to work. I mean, I leave the house, I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm on that spiritual beam. I'm chilling. I'm good. I get to work. 7 o'clock comes, and that just goes out the door. And the book tells me when I get disturbed, I pause. I'm supposed to pause. And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. I explode. And I had one of those days today where everything was just, like, coming at me. And I was going off on customers and people, and it was just, man, I had to take a step back, so I walked out. Then the book tells me at night, you know, I review my day. Well, me and Allie do that when we get home. I get home from work. She tells me about her day. I talk about my day, things that happened. What did I do? You know what I mean? And I do that. But in step 11, you know, I'm sober like 4 years. And Joe, my man, who, you know, was instrumental in my recovery, he was always in the church, right? And he's always going to Calvary Chapel. And now the book says we don't, like, slight religious people. Like, we see where they're right. I wasn't having that, right? So Joe's going to Calvary every Sunday. And then this 1 year, Easter Sunday's coming. And they have this big service down at, well, it was at Lockhart Stadium. Now it's in FAU Stadium. But Joe was having, they were having this service at FAU. And Joe had seen me. He'd seen me backsliding. He'd seen me getting, what's the word? Stagnant, right? I'm at the sober house. I'm thinking that, you know, I'm helping these guys. I'm sponsoring guys. So that's all I got to do. But Joe knew that I needed more. And so he invited me to go to church with him. And I said, no. No thanks. That was on a Monday. So Tuesday, he comes to me again. Let's go to church on Sunday. I'm like, no. Wednesday, same thing. So Friday, I think Russell was doing the steps at the 101 Club that night. Packed house. And we get outside the meeting, and Joe, this time, he gets adamant about it, and he gets right in my face. And he starts, I'm not going to tell you what he said, like how he said it, but he dropped a couple of F-bombs, and like, who are you not to F and go give thanks to the God who got you sober and all this? And I'm just looking at him like, who the hell are you to tell me, right? I was supposed to have him. So I'm like, F you, and I got in this dude's car. Now, the guy's car I got in the car with, his name was, I'm not going to tell you his name, that's just breaking his anonymity. Let's just say he goes in and out, in and out, in and out. So we go to the casino, very spiritual. And I'm sitting there, and I'm character assassinating Joe. Like, I'm just murdering him. And Mark's sitting there like, yeah. F Joe. He's just buying my duty, man. He's just co-signing my duty. And I'm sitting there, and I'm telling you, I'm at the card table, and I'm sitting there listening to Mark. And I had a moment of clarity. And I go, what are you doing? You know, you're 4 years sober. This man who's God put in your life to help save your life, all he's asking you to do is go to church. But yet you're at a casino with a guy who can't stay sober, character assassinating him. And I said, it's time to go, right? So I get back to the house, and I knock on Joe's door, and I walk in the office, and I made an amends right then and there. Like, listen, man, I apologize. I was wrong. And he's like, for what? I said, because just now you were dead to me. Like, I was at the casino killing you right now. And I said, listen, from everything you taught me, I know that my old attitudes, I didn't believe, is what got me here. So for all that you did for me, for you to want me to go to church with you, I can do that for you. I can go. I'm not promising anything, but I'll go. So we went to church, and it was like they had a camera at Solutions, because the service was all about what was going on that week. And I've been back there ever since. Like, that's how I started my day. And I'm not telling you have to go to church. I'm not telling you that is a necessary thing. That's for me. For me, that's how I start my Sundays. And I got a whole bunch of God stories like that, you know. The faith that I had when I got here was none. And then during this part of my journey, I just seen God all over the place. A quick story about the God thing, and then I'll move on. But, you know, James was talking about our sober house. And our sober house is not ran by the state. Like, we don't get any kickbacks. We don't get any help from the state. It's by the men who come to the house, right? We don't make any money. It's just what we do. And Joe will probably kill me for telling this story, but oh well. So at this one time, like, we don't take people in just because we have beds. Like, if your heart's not in it and you don't pass the couch trip test, yeah, you ain't getting in, right? We just ain't doing it. So this one summer, we had like three people in the house. And it was getting bad. It was getting critical. The mortgage was due. Joe, every morning, would say, man, keep praying. Pray, hope God opens the door. I'm like, I'm praying, Joe, I'm praying. So it got to be crunch time. So one morning we get a phone call from this guy. His name was Bob Campbell. Guy weighed like 400 pounds. Nobody would take him in. Nobody. Not Henderson House. Not anybody would take this guy in. But we took him in. So he was with us for like 9 months, and he left. Hadn't seen him in years. And this morning he calls us. And he's like, Joe and Keith, you know, I came into some money. I want to help you guys. What can I do? What do you need? And we told him, you know. The next morning, there was a check for the mortgage. And I was blown away. Now, this was a guy who was an heir to the Campbell Soup fortune. You know, we didn't know that. You know, he looked like a slob when he got there. But this is what happened, you know what I mean? And I'm seeing all these things happen, right? So I'm starting to believe, So the 12 steps says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to other alcoholics. What message are they talking about? The message is clear. Like, the big book in the first 164 of those pages, that is the program of recovery. It hasn't been changed in all this time. And each edition, the stories in the back have changed, but the program as outlined in this book has not changed one iota. So what message do I want to carry to an alcoholic, you know? When I first got sober, it was like, you know, I go to meetings and I know what I was listening for, you know. It was just like, go try to hear your story. Or, as long as you go to the meeting, you'll be all right. That's not true, you know. There's a lot of meetings out there that I can't stand. And, I used to judge meetings, and I learned from Peter that I shouldn't do that because they're just a bunch of drunks who probably don't know what's going on. But if you're trying to get sober, you should be seeking this thing like Kevin was talking about, like a drowning man. Like, you should go to meetings where they're talking about the solution, like where they're talking about recovery, right? Not no touchy-feeling meetings and not no, you know, open disgusting meetings. Like, you should go to some literature-based meetings. And that's what I try to do. But having had this spiritual awakening, you know, when the book tells me in the 12th step, nothing will so much ensure my recovery as intensive work with another alcoholic. Now, I've known guys on my journey since I've been here with some serious time that have went back out. One guy had 25 years, was doing the deal. Like New Wesley Parish was doing the deal. And he lost his way. And he thought it'd be a good idea to go out and get with some women that weren't reputable, I should say. And he relapsed. You know, I believe this program, you know, just as I worked the steps to get sober, I can unwork the steps. Let me explain that, right? Like somebody had said, you know, we don't graduate because we do the 12 steps. Like, I don't do the 12 steps and graduate. I was taught that my road gets narrower the more longer I'm sober. So I come in here and I get sober and I do the deal, but I start getting things back. I start acquiring things, you know, got my license back in sobriety, got my own place in sobriety, got a good job in sobriety. So I start going away from that thing. So as I started doing that, I stopped working with guys. Ed Cantelli says the best. He goes, you ask a man who relapses, you know, don't ask him how it was out there. Stupid question. I know how it is out there. Ask that person how many people he was helping. All right, how many people was he sponsoring? The answer is going to be none. So I stopped helping people, right? So I'm taking my will back. I stopped praying in the morning to God. I stopped doing 10, right? I stopped doing 4 through 9. So these principles, I stopped doing these things. I started cutting corners. I started hanging out in bars. I started going to strip clubs. You know, I started doing things I'm not supposed to be doing. Because by this time, in the 11th step, it says, you know, these hunches that I get, I'm not doing the right thing. They're not hunches anymore if I'm living a sober life. So I started cutting corners. I started doing things I shouldn't be doing. Then I started putting more trash in the garbage can, more trash in the garbage can. In 6 and 7, I found out that's where the transformation takes place, right? I started putting all that stuff that I took out of the garbage can back in the garbage can. Then I stopped coming to meetings. I stopped calling my sponsor. Next thing you know, the thought in my mind says, it wasn't so bad out there, right? I forget what the drink did to me. I don't remember what it did for me. I started romanticizing that thing. And I pick up the drink, and I'm off to the races. And we see that. Like, the success rate today is like 3%. Why is that? Like, there's nobody here that is, like, any different than anybody else. Some of us a little bit more surrendered, yes. But what is it about, you know, I'm not going to say the retreads because that's, like, disrespectful, but We know people that keep coming in and out, keep coming in and out. And of course, the book, you know, we say come back, keep coming back. But why? Why do you keep coming back? Because you're not done. You're not surrendered. You know, I had men in my life that didn't care how I felt, didn't care about my feelings. They wanted to know if I was done. And if I said I was done, they were putting their foot up, you know what, right? They didn't care about my feelings. A friend of Allie said it best. She said she'd rather step on her toes than step on my grave. So these people took a stand for me. So the message I give to my guys, like I sit down with my guys, and Thomas was talking about it, or Wayne was talking about it. Like when I got here, I didn't know nothing about this book. So I need somebody who knows about this book to sit down with me and let's go through it page by page. And that's what I do with my guys, you know what I mean? We sit down, I have them read first, so that when we do it together, they'll have some kind of context. But we sit down and we go through the doctor's opinion all the way to page through working with others. That's what I do. Packaging these principles in all my affairs. I'm a lot better than I was, but I am not rendered white as snow. You know, Joe says it best about this God thing. Like, this is all about God, right? And people get up here, and I'm not Peter, and I'm not Stevie B, because those guys are very God-centered people, and they get up here and they preach the Bible, and I can't tell you any scripture in the Bible. Not going to lie. I know the Ten Commandments, because that's my favorite movie. But I have this understanding of God, right? So for me to get up here and pontificate about God and Jesus and all that, you guys would know that'd be fake and phony. You would know that, because that's not me. But I should be able to sit up here and tell you about the God of my understanding without saying a word, if that makes sense, right? By the time I get to the 12th step, is the song matching the dance, right? Because when I came in here, I had two conversations. There was the outer conversation that sounded like this: Keith, how you doing? I'm great. Life is good. But I was dying when I got here. But that night, I had that inner conversation. The inner conversation was, man, I want to die. I hate myself. Life sucks. Having had that spiritual awakening, the conversation a little bit more even keeled, right? I don't have to go out here and tell you about my God. I don't have to tell you what I'm doing, none of that stuff. You'll see it in my walk. I've been blessed to live two lifetimes in one life. The book on page 25 talks about the central fact, right? And that lives with me today. I mean, I have an amazing life, like, incredible. I get to give this gift back that was freely given. I got guys I sponsor today, you know, I got more now than I've ever had in my life, and that's, I don't know why I have that, you know what I mean? It's incredible. Like when Rachel asked me to do this, this is 12-step work, I guess you call this 12-step work. I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do it because I'm like, I'm too busy. It's a big commitment. I don't know how to do this thing. But she saw something in me, I guess, and God saw something in her to ask her to have me do this. And I've grown since I've done this. You know, if you were here in the second week, you saw me talking about it last time. Like, fearful, like, embarrassed, fearful, all those things. And God stepped in and said, no, I got more work for you to do. And I think he had me do that and sit up here and freeze so the newcomer can see that even though I'm up here and I'm fearful life's going to happen, I can walk through it. And that's what I do on a daily basis, as I walk through it. You know, I don't want to sit up here and, you know, ramble on, but if you're struggling, just know this, that you don't have to struggle anymore. There's people in here that know this book inside and out. It's what are you committed to having? What are you committed to having? Are you committed to just come in here, treating AA like a nightclub? You know what I mean? Come in here, you know, let's get dressed up and go to a meeting. Sick. Or are you treating this like your life is on the line? Like, this is our church. If you have a problem with church, but you're an alcoholic, your ministry's been declared for you. Think about that for a minute. If you have a problem with the church thing, for now, which is cool, I had the same thing. But my ministry's been declared. It's been set in stone. This is our church, the meeting, AA meeting. How am I respecting that? What am I showing a newcomer that doesn't know, right? What am I putting out there for that guy who doesn't know what AA is and what AA does? Am I hitting on a newcomer? Am I lying from the podium? It's a much bigger game than just not drinking and drugging. You know, I got a friend, not going to put him on blast either, but here's a guy who can quote scripture and verse, quote the Bible left and right. And in my 10 years, I've never seen a guy come in, a newcomer, not talking about the Peters and the Russells who got 20-something years and done the deal, but I'm talking about the guy who comes in, quoting the Bible and verse, and Lord my Jesus Christ and all this stuff. Not one of them has ever stayed sober. Not one. Because it's inauthentic. You know what I mean? It's not real. When I have this spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, what you see is what you get. This is a true, authentic Keith. This is the Keith God created. You're not going to get that if you, you know, somebody said it. If it doesn't live for you, it doesn't live for you. And I'm going to see it in you before you see it in yourself. That's the cool thing about this thing, the 12th step. Working with a new person and seeing the lights go off as you explain something to them and as they have that, like, ah moment is amazing. Amazing. So, I want to thank Rachel and James for having me. I want to thank the people, you guys tonight, and everybody who's stuck with me through this thing, because I know it's been painful at times. I want to say to the newcomer, you know, if you see me out and about and you got questions, male, of course, I'm here. You know, God has done for me what I could have never done for myself. If I was to die tomorrow, you know, Joe talks about legacy, and I mention Joe a lot, and that's just because the man taught me everything I know about this thing. I'm one of my sponsors, but he talks about legacy. What's my legacy going to be? What's going to live in the hearts and minds of other people for knowing me? Well, before I got here, nothing. You know what I mean? I didn't have nothing. My family didn't know nothing, anything. But today, if I was to die tonight on my way home, God forbid, I believe there'd be people at my funeral. You know, we all got an exit date, right? You got a born date and you got an exit date. And in between that, you got that little dash. It's called our life. So we're all gonna die. The question is, how are you gonna live? And I thank you for having me. I thank you guys for listening. God bless.
Get out of there like 3 minutes.